Matthew chapter 2 tonight. What I want to do tonight is come over into the latter part of the chapter. I'm going to try to finish up what we started this morning. We were talking about the subject of the wise men here, and we titled the message Wise Men Then and Wise Men Now. And let's just pray tonight and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Verse 13 in Matthew 2, it said, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Now, why did Herod say he wanted to know where he was at? He said he wanted to worship him, didn't he? Amen. As far as I'm concerned, there's quite a difference between wanting to worship somebody and wanting to kill them. Amen. The Bible said, "And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother." Have you ever noticed that Joseph is not called the father as you read through the Bible and the Christmas story? Joseph is not called Jesus' father. You say, well, why not? Because he's not his father. Amen. The Bible said here, "And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and he departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then the word of God said in verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth, and he sent forth and he slew all the children." My wife and I were talking about this coming down the road, and I'll get into this a little bit later on in the message tonight. And she said, "You know, honey, it would kind of make sense that it would be all of the men children." Now, in the days of Moses, the Bible specifies that, does it not? Amen. All the male children. But here, all I know is what the Bible said, that he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy, or we know that to be Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weepeth for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." Now you think about that as we get ready to celebrate Christmas and think about the Lord Jesus coming into this world. When you think about the families, because of his entrance into this world, that are grieving sorely because of the loss of their children. Notice what the Bible said. "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. He arose and took the young child and his mother, came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that," I'm not sure exactly how you say that, "Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." If you'll pray for us tonight, we'll try our best to finish up this message the Lord's put in our heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. God, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, God, you'd clothe us in our calling. Help us, Father, tonight to be a blessing to these dear folk that have gathered in the house of God this evening. Now, Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, in this generation, Lord, that we might ever be like the wise men were here in this text. God, help us, Lord, to learn and glean truths that would transform our lives. And Lord, help us and make us a blessing to others along life's way. Father, I pray tonight that there's a soul here without Jesus. This might be the last night that they spend without Jesus. Lord, they might receive Him into their hearts and into their lives and be transformed. And Lord, have those shackles removed, the shackles of sin, and be free to serve the Lord. Lord, we love You tonight. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And amen, and amen. I'm not going to re-preach what I preached this morning, but just a little bit by way of review. These wise men knew some things, and we know some things in our day. We know when Jesus was born. We know how Jesus was born, and we know why Jesus was born. He was born to take away our sin, to die on an old rugged cross. Amen. How did they know where Jesus was born? They followed that light that God had given them. Thank God tonight for a Bible. God has given us light that we can follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to give you some things tonight as we get on into the message tonight. We saw that the wise men, they were determined to exalt the Lord, while that the foolish men in this chapter were determined to get rid of the Lord or extinguish the Lord or eliminate the Lord Jesus, kill Him. And the group of wise men were exceeding glad, and at the same time the group of foolish men were exceeding wroth, they were exceeding mad, and by that they slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof. I want to give you some things tonight as I looked at this story, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. And we're seeing tonight that there are wise men back then, and thank God there's still wise men today that have things in common with these wise men here. Let me give you something tonight. First of all, to start the message, the wise men had something to give Jesus. They had something to give Jesus. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Who knows what the Bible said? It said in verse 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with his mother. And the Bible said they fell down and they worshiped him. Notice what the Bible said here. It said they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. He said, now, preacher, that kind of leaves me out. I don't have much gold. I don't have much frankincense. Or I don't have much myrrh. Can I tell you something tonight? Listen to me carefully right here. You and I have something to give Jesus that's more precious than gold. That's more precious than frankincense. That's more precious than myrrh. You say, preacher, what in the world do we have? First of all, the we represents God's people. Those that have been born again. Those that have been saved out of the cesspool of sin. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible said it like this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'll tell you something right now. You want Jesus to have a wonderful Christmas? Amen. Don't worry, my friend. You've got something to give Him. If you've been saved by the grace of God, give Him your life. Amen. He'll be very pleased with that. Very pleased. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Just do the will of God. That's what these wise men were doing. They were doing the will of God for their life. The will of God, my friend, is precious. And I appreciate these men. They had something to give Jesus. You and I have some. Listen, how many remembers when Hannah was barren? Remember? Remember how she prayed? She said, God, if you'll give me a man child. Now listen to me carefully right here. Listen to me carefully. She could not give that child back to God until God gave her the child. I'm going to tell you, we're living in a generation where there's people trying to give their life to God when God has never given them life. We first must be saved by the grace of God. Then we have something to give back to the Lord. Amen. We can give Him our life. I believe that with all of my heart. Somebody told me the other day, they said, well, the 1970s, just about killed the Baptists. Hell, it looked like we were booming. Amen. But I'll tell you something right now. I mean, we were getting a lot of people in that weren't saved. Amen. Brother Brian, I thought about it as you taught Sunday school, the enemy from within. Sometimes it's because people just don't have the Spirit of God in them. Amen.
They're just not saved by the grace of God. They're not, Jesus said they went out from us. They were not all of us. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, if we're saved by the grace of God, wise men, they still have something to give Jesus. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Amen. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. And we ought to give Him our life. Amen. I praise the Lord for that. A lot of people think, you know, that, listen, it's over when we give of a tithe or we give of an offering. But listen, it's not over. God doesn't want, my friend, what we have. He wants us. Amen. He wants us to serve Him. Amen. When He has us, then He has everything that we have. Amen. Everything that we are. Everything that we have. Wise men, they had something to give Jesus. Now watch this. Foolish men were trying to take something from Jesus. Listen to me carefully right here. You say, preacher, what were they trying to take? Number one, they were trying to take His life. Say amen. You say, well, preacher, Jesus has done come. Jesus has done died. Jesus has done rose again. And they can't take His life in this generation. There must not be any foolish men in this generation. Oh, yes, there is. Let me tell you something right now. Here's number one, what they're trying to take from Him. His deity. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I'm going to tell you something right now. You'll find a lot of people that will name the name of Jesus. But when you get down to the brass tacks of Him being the Son of God, God incarnate, God in the flesh, they back up right there. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and My Father are one. Amen. I thank the Lord, don't you, that we know in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Bible said in verse 14, the Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. Amen. Thank God there's still wise men that have something to give Jesus. But I'll tell you, this world's still full of foolish men trying to take something away from Jesus. Amen. There's entire, I won't even say religions, cults. Cults built on the fact that they will not receive the truth of who Jesus is. Amen. Thank God for the play. I don't know what it's all about, but I know the title's good. Amen. Who is this man called Jesus? I'll tell you who He is. He's the Son of God. Amen. He's God incarnate. They're trying to take from Him. Number two, or number three, really, they tried to take His life. In this generation, they will not accept His deity. Let me give you something else they won't accept. They won't accept His authority. I'm going to give you something tonight. Church, please don't ever fall in this trap right here. Let me show you where the majority of society is today. They want a Savior. Listen to me carefully. They want a Savior. They want a ticket out of hell. They don't want to go to hell. They want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. Can I tell you, the Bible said He hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Savior. If you get a Savior, honey, you get a Lord. Amen. You get a new master. Amen. And I thank God tonight, He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I didn't understand this truth for years. I didn't understand this. I've actually even been guilty. I read a lot. I've even been guilty of preaching this wrong right here. Listen to me carefully. How many's ever heard a statement like this? You need to make Jesus Lord of your life. How many's ever made that statement or heard that statement? Need to make, and it sounds okay. And I guess it's all in the emphasis you put on it. Let me just say this to you right here. When you get saved, you don't have to make Him anything. Amen. He is Lord. Now, I tell you what I believe. I believe we ought to cooperate with His Lordship. I believe we'll get along a whole lot better. Amen. I believe we can escape the chastening hand of God if we cooperate with His Lordship. But honey, I'm telling you, when a person genuinely gets born again, they don't get a Savior without a Lord. They get a Savior and a Lord. Amen. He begins to will and to do of His own good pleasure. And He's already made up His mind when He put us in the family of God. Read Romans 8. He's already looking plumb over yonder the day when we're going to be just like Jesus. And it's done. Amen. Thank God. Them He called. Them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. We're in Christ tonight. Amen. They don't like His deity. They don't like His authority. That's foolish men. Amen. The deceit here in this Bible, in this chapter, as they looked like they wanted to worship Him with their mouth, and all the while they were wanting to kill Him in their heart. Amen. I tell you tonight, the Lord's looking deeper than the outside. He looks at our hearts tonight. And the Word of God knows, God knows, amen, that we want to give Him our lives. Amen. Wise men had something to give Jesus. You know, the teenagers tonight, I thank God for this good group of teenagers, Sunday morning and Sunday night. He said, well, I don't know what a teenager could give the Lord. Same thing you and I can. Give Him your life. Amen. I'll tell you something tonight. You say, well, preacher, I'm up in years. I'm way over the hill. What could I give Him? I'll tell you what, give Him. Give Him your life. Give Him whatever you got left. Amen. Just give him the life that He has given you. Just lay it back in His hands. That's what the Bible's talking about. If we keep it, if we save our life, we'll lose it. But thank God, if we lose it, we'll save it for the glory of God. Amen. Wise men, they still have something to give Jesus. Let me give you this tonight. I want to say the Scripture was being fulfilled then, and the Scripture's being fulfilled now. Let me show you something tonight. I hope this will bless your heart. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. How many believe that Jesus was born just like the Bible said He would be born? He was born for the reason God said He would be born. Look at chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible said He was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. You can take this book if you want to, and you can say, well, boy, isn't that something? Isn't that a coincidence that these things happened just like it said over in the Old Testament? No, it's not coincidence. It's providence. Amen. It's a God that's sovereign. Amen. A God that knows the beginning from the end. He said it was going to happen like this, and it happened exactly like He said. The Scripture's being fulfilled. Look at verse 17. The Bible said, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy, the prophet. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass that he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. He said, preacher, I don't understand why you get so excited about all this Scripture being fulfilled. Let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because I done read the rest of the book. And if this much has already been fulfilled, hallelujah, it's going to be wonderful when He fulfills the rest of the book. Just like He said. Amen. A day. Glory. When He will make all things new. That's coming. He said, preacher, you really believe that? I sure enough do. Amen. Thank God tonight. I thank God. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. No more sickness. I thank God we'll be in His presence. Amen. So what we're going to do, same thing the wise men do. We're going to fall down and we're going to worship Him. Amen. Thank God there'll be nothing to hinder. Nothing to hinder. No flesh to hinder. No devil to hinder. No world to hinder. Not even a Walmart to hinder. Amen. Thank God there'll be no hindrance there. The Scripture might be fulfilled. Look at chapter 4 and verse 14. The Bible said here that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah or Esaias the prophet, saying, he said, preacher, you excited about that? I am. Because everything that God said would happen the way God said it would happen. He said, well, preacher, what about that stuff that hasn't happened yet? Hang around. It will. Amen. Glory to God. It will. It will. It will. Amen. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm going to do something the devil won't do. They said, what's that, preacher? I said, I'm going to leave you alone. While we're down here, that's true. But how many knows there's coming a day when the devil will leave us alone? God's going to chain that sucker up, throw him in the bottomless pit. He'll be loose for a season. Amen. And then he's going there for eternity. Amen. Never have to be bothered with him again. Hallelujah. The wise men, they had something to give. The Scripture was being fulfilled then, and the Scripture is being fulfilled now. He said, preacher, I don't understand. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. It's being fulfilled. The Bible said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. Let me ask you something. Is heaven and earth still here? Watch this. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What God has promised, Abraham said it. I say amen. He's able to perform. Amen. Now watch this. Watch this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2 with me just a minute. Turn there with me, would you please? 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to ask you a question in a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible said this, know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Here's my question. Has that scripture been fulfilled? If you're not reading, my friend, our generation in that scripture, then I don't know where you've been. Amen. That scripture has been fulfilled in the heart and in the mind of our Heavenly Father. Let me give you something tonight. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Let me show you something tonight. The Bible talked about without natural affection. Go back to our verse over in Matthew. Matthew chapter number 2. Look at it right here with me. The Bible said here, then Herod, verse 16, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. In other words, they told Herod they'd be back. I don't blame the wise men. I don't blame them a bit. If I told y'all I'll be back next Sunday, and I tell you what, God come along, told me, said, don't go back down yonder. I mean, you know what I mean? Say amen. You say, preacher, hey, you don't speak to us like that. I understand that. He's going to speak to us today. He's speaking in dreams here. The Word of God was not complete. The Word of God was not fulfilled. And so Herod takes it personal. He said, they mocked me. They said they would come back. But the only thing got in the way was God told them different. And so God headed them around the danger. You know, one of the things I believe is going to make heaven heaven is when we get over there. Right now, we don't even know, Brother Brian, how much danger he's headed us around. When we get over there, we're going to know even as also we're known. And we're going to see, hey, look at that. I was aggravated because I had a flat tire. But look what God was doing. Amen. I was aggravated because my wife was standing in front of that mirror. But look what God was doing. You say, preacher, you're talking about delayed sometimes? How many of y'all are married? Will you get with me tonight? Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God's taking care of us. Many times He'll use what we think is a delay to deliver us from the danger that's ahead. Amen. God is good all the time. Notice what the Bible said here. Scripture's being fulfilled then. Scripture's being fulfilled now without natural effects. Watch this. And He slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time when He first talked to the wise men. He was determined. Maybe I can't pick Him out, so I'll kill them all. I'll get Him. Say amen. That's what He's got in mind. I'll get Him. I'll get Him one way or another. That's the way the devil is. Amen. He don't go down easy. Amen. I'll get Him. He said, preacher, I don't understand what this has got to do with Scripture being fulfilled. Let me give you a thought. I won't be dogmatic about it, but just let me give you a thought. How many remembers the days of Moses? I talked about it a while ago. How many remembers when Mama put him in? Ain't it just like God? She put him in that basket, put him out there among the bulrushes. Guess who got to nurse him? Mama. Glory to God. Amen. That's just like God in His grace. Amen. He said, but I'm going to tell you this. There's a truth right here I've never seen. Mama had to give him to God before God could give him. Woo! Amen! Amen! But let me tell you something right now. There was, Pharaoh said, kill him, youngins. Kill him, youngins. Ain't that what he said? 2 years old, them male children. kill him. There's this man named Moses. We'll get him one way or the other. Amen. We'll kill them all. Kill them all. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Stay with me just a minute. Let me say this to you. In the days of Moses, there was a mass murder of the children. And you know what God was saying? A deliverer is coming. I'll catch you down at the red light after a while. Amen. In the days of Jesus now, there's another mass murder of the children. Is anybody with me? You know what God was saying? A deliverer is coming. Amen. And now we're living in a day. Let me give you some statistics tonight. I looked this up this afternoon, and I believe it'll help us to see tonight the point. We're averaging in America 3,425 abortions a day. A day. I did a little math on my cell phone. That kept me back to do it the long way. From December 1, that's today, through Christmas, in America, not the world, in America, there will be 85,625 babies killed in America between now and Christmas. Now listen to me. Since 1967, there have been a total from 1967 to April of this year, in America, 56,605,430 babies have been killed. Throughout the world, since World War II, there's been 1.5 billion babies murdered. The top three countries annually, Red China, they will abort 11 million babies a year. The former Soviet Union will abort 6 million babies a year. And the United States will abort 1.22 million babies a year. You say, preacher, I don't know why you would mention that. Talking about Jesus and His birth. Can I just stop and say, there's a mass murder of the children going on. And I believe our Lord is saying, the deliverer is on His way. And I believe tonight that you and I as God's people, listen, we shouldn't stand for it. We ought to stand for what's right. But hallelujah, it ought to excite us to know the King is coming. The King is coming. He's coming for you. And He's coming for me. In the days of Moses, in the days of Jesus, and in our day, there's a mass. He said, preacher, I don't believe abortion's murder. You need to read the book of Psalms, chapter 139. I'm telling you something tonight, folks. I believe with all of my heart that between that, the Bible said it was in the days of Sodom. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I'm telling you, we'd have to have our head buried in the sand not to know the King is coming. The King is coming. You say, preacher, I don't know if we can turn it around. I know we can't turn it around. I know there's a God in heaven that can turn it around. We can't turn it around. But I know this. The Bible said the love of many would wax cold. I believe with all of my heart, without natural affection, I believe with all of my heart, we're living in a generation that wants a license to sin without the consequences of their sin. I'm telling you tonight, one out of four, listen to this, one out of four in America, men and women, have been involved in an abortion one way or the other. One out of four. He said, preacher, what happens if that's part of a person's life? I tell you what better happen. We better thank God for His grace. And we better thank God for His mercy. By the way, it's just like every other sin. Say amen. All you say, there ain't enough blood been shed to cover that. You're wrong. You're mighty wrong. Amen. Oh, I thank my God. The Bible said if you're guilty in one point of the law, you've offended the whole law. Every one of us are lawbreakers. Every one of us needed grace. Every one of us needed mercy. I'm telling you tonight, there's an announcement being made that the King is coming. Let me give you something tonight. Think about this. The life years that have been lost, life years, that have been lost since 1967, 4.27 billion years of life have been lost. Let me give you this statistic. I looked this stuff up. Amen. I ain't the brightest kid on the block, but I can look something up. Amen. You know what else I found out? Guess what the GDP, the gross domestic product would have been if the babies had been born instead of aborted. Listen, since 1967, get a hold of this number, $50 trillion. Wonder if that would have solved the national debt. Say amen. You say, preacher, are you upset? No, I'm putting the facts out there. I'm telling you the king's coming, and we better get ready. He's coming. He's coming. The king is coming. They didn't believe it the first time, and many don't believe it now, but he's still coming. Let me give you this tonight, and I'm done. The wise men here, they heeded God's warnings. Look at verse 12. Look, watch this. In verse 12, the Bible said, in being warned of God. Can I tell you something right now? Listen to me carefully. I'm saying this kindly. But we're living in a generation, for the most part, that don't want to be warned about anything. It's almost like we're living in a generation where most children don't even want their mother and father warning them about something. Let alone the principal, let alone the teacher, let alone the pastor. You say, preacher, why? Why are the prisons filling up? Why are they overpopulated? I'll tell you why. No respect for the authority that God has placed in an individual's life. Amen. Many of those men, many of those women have grown up without a father, some without a mother. And I'm not making any excuses, but I'm telling you that, my friend, there's a lawlessness in our land that's going to bring trouble. Amen. And is bringing trouble. Wise men, they heeded God's warning. Look at verse 13. Not only the wise men, but look at Joseph. The Bible said the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. What did God do? He warned Joseph. What did Joseph do? He received the warning. When God warns us, He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. My little girl, Amanda, she was just a baby. We lived in an old farmhouse. I mean old. When the curtains blew, that first winter, I burnt 12 cord of wood. That's a lot of firewood. And we didn't figure it out the first winter, Brother Ralph. But the second winter, we stapled plastic over them windows. Amen. He said, preacher, I wouldn't tell that. Well, I just did. Amen. And we had a stove, and I worked in sheet metal. And they gave me the scraps off of the mining equipment we built. We'd take our spare time. We'd weld us up a wood stove. And I tell you, the first one, I made it out of quarter-inch iron. And I put it in there. And my wife would fire that thing so hot, the sides would be cherry, and you could drop half of a basketball in the side of it when she got to, she warped it bad. I mean, she's trying to stay warm. I built another one a couple years later. I put half-inch sides in it. I said, let's see you warp that. You know what she done? She warped it. She could build a fire like no other. Amen. We need her to keep the fire burning around here, Brother Johnny. Amen. My little girl, I don't know, Miss C, about 3 years old. Was Amanda about three? Two and a half, 3 years old. We taught her, honey, that's hot. You've got to stay away from that. That's hot. That'll burn the baby. I'd say something like this, that'll burn daddy's baby. Honey, don't do that. Stay away from that. But you know, she just couldn't take daddy's word for it. One day, me and Miss Eve was in the kitchen doing something in the kitchen, and we heard her squall. I mean, she squalled like a wildcat. And she come running in there, and the only thing that was burnt was the end of that finger. She just had to lay that finger against that cherry hot stove. Amen? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, if she would have listened to mom and listened to dad, she wouldn't have got burnt. How many of us can relate to that in our life? If we had listened to God, we wouldn't have got burnt. They're wise because they're receiving God's warning. The foolish here, They're rejecting God's warning. They hate God's warning. They disregard God's warning. Look at verse number 19. The Bible said here, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. Herod's dead now. He said, preacher, what do you really believe? He rejected God's warning? I surely do. Look at the book of Proverbs just a minute. See, I'm ending like I was trying to start. Proverbs chapter 29. The Bible said, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Can I say something to you tonight, church? Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. But how many of you all know there's sin that we'll never overcome? Say amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I'm telling you, God can forgive. You say, okay, preacher, give us a Bible illustration. How about David? He's a perfect illustration. Did God forgive him? Did God give him his joy back? He certainly did. Did he get to do all that God wanted him to do in the beginning? He certainly did not. I'm telling you, listen to me tonight. If God reproves us, we cannot afford to harden our neck and stiffen our heart. We must heed the warning that God has given us. Amen. By the way, I don't just believe. You don't have to go there with me if you don't want to. But I don't just believe, Brother Randy, that God's warning America. But I believe God's warning this whole world. I mean, you've never seen the likes of earthquakes. Oh, you say, preacher, that ain't got nothing to do. You can think that if you want to. Say amen. The tsunamis, now the typhoons, that just completely level entire islands. And do you understand tonight? Listen to me carefully. How many believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? Do you understand that in those heathen lands, my friend, most of those people are lifting their eyes into hell when something like that happens? By the way, let me just stop here. I'm not throwing off on them people. But if God levels Bloomingdale, the majority of Bloomingdale will be in the same shape. The majority in Bloomingdale are not ready to meet God. Anywhere you go on the globe, God's people are not in the majority. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. You say, preacher, if you could call Herod up tonight and he'd say something to us, what would he say? He'd say, man, don't reject Jesus. Receive him. Don't reject God's warning. Receive it. Remember, the Bible said this, and I'm done. Hebrews chapter 11, I believe it's long about verse number 6. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And he became, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You say, preacher, they never seen any 100-pound hailstones. That's things not seen as yet. How many believes are coming? How many believes men and women will run to the rocks, run to the mountain, and say, fall on us? The Word of God said they're going to want to die and cannot die. A third of the vegetation will be burned up. A third of the earth's water supply will be turned to blood in that day. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with wise men. Everything. Wise men get ready. Wise men make preparation to meet their Lord. Amen. Wise men, my friend, not only make preparation for themselves, but the Bible said that Noah prepared that ark to the saving of his house. There's something in the Bible about household salvation. God loves to save the whole house. It started back there. I don't know if it's exactly where it started, but a good example of it's Rahab. It wasn't just Rahab. They said, get everybody in the family that you want saved in that room with you. Amen. Let down that scarlet cord. And God spared Rahab and her household. That Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Anybody know the next three words? And thy house. God loves saving the household. Whole household. Household. Salvation. Wise men. They still have something to give. Wise men. They heed the warnings of God. Wise men. Still love Jesus. You know, in the eyes of this world, Brother Jeff, we're fools. But we're going to see one day after a while who the fools are. We're going to see one day after a while who the fools are. Amen. You know, a preacher can preach, and I've been having a little trouble out of my voice for the last couple weeks. But a preacher can preach and get a little bit hoarse. And people just say, boy, ain't that a shame. But they go down there to the ball game and come back and can't say nothing. And they don't nobody say nothing about that. Amen. Amen. I thank God tonight that we can be what we ought to be for the King's glory, realizing the King is coming. How many believes He's coming tonight? Are you ready? If He comes right now, are you ready? Are you ready? Sister Becky, I'd like for you to play a number for me tonight, please, on the piano. Let's bow our heads tonight for prayer. I appreciate you being here tonight, church. I really do. And I believe with all my heart tonight, there's somebody in this building tonight that needs to wise up. Need to wise up. Need to heed God's warning. God's warning of impending danger. God's warning of impending judgment. Judgment's coming. Jesus is coming. For the children of God were not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed tonight. Our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question tonight. Here's how I want to ask the question. How many tonight can say, preacher, with judgment day honesty, if He comes right now, I thank my God that I'm ready. Not because of what I am or what I've done, but because I've trusted Him to be my Savior. I've been born into His family. How many could raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's me. That's me. Let me ask you this question tonight. Those of you that just raised your hand, He's given you life, right? Have you given it back to Him? Are you holding out in some area? Does He have it all? Could be tonight that it would change this entire month, change your entire life. If you just come tonight and say, Lord, I'm tired of hanging on to it. I'm tired of saving it. I'm going to lose it tonight. I'm giving it to You. I'm giving it all to You. I'm giving it to You. Christian, it'd be a happy day in your life when you dedicate your life to the Lord. Are you dedicated to Him tonight? Is He your all in all? If you're here tonight and you couldn't raise your hand a while ago, this altar is open tonight. You could come and take Jesus tonight to be your Savior. You could get ready for the impending danger. You could escape the wrath of God. But you must receive Jesus. You must be born again. You must have something more than just religion, more than a form of godliness. You need the power that can only come through the Holy Spirit. Father, tonight as we stand to our feet, I pray You'd bless the invitation. Some child of God tonight, Lord, ought to lay their life in this altar tonight and say, Lord, here it is. I give it to Thee. Tonight, Lord, someone that's without Christ, unprepared,
ought to just come tonight and say, Lord, I came in unprepared, but I don't want to leave the same way. I want to be saved. I pray, God, tonight, do your office work in Jesus' name.